Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. At first blush, you might not imagine any overlap between traditional European Jewish musical forms and African American spirituals. However, bass Anthony Russell proves there is one, and a strong one at that.
Russell, who trained as an opera singer, is African-American, gay, and Jewish. And he'll be here in Milwaukee tonight for a performance called Convergence, along with the klezmer group Voretsky Pass. Ahead of that show, he joined us on the line from his home in Massachusetts. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to virtually meet you.
Of course, it's my pleasure to be virtually met.
And I'm looking forward to actually meeting you when you're here in Milwaukee later this week. It's just so exciting that you're going to be here performing in a number of different contexts. But I suppose the music is where we should start, because this is such an interesting mix of musics that your own journey led you to. How did you discover this compatibility between African-American spiritual music and Yiddish music?
Well, I think it really goes back to my days when I was an opera singer. I was an opera singer for about 15 years, and while I was an opera singer, I pretty much avoided the Negro spiritual because it was usually taken for granted that if you are an African-American classical singer, that that would be a part of your repertoire. And I wanted my repertoire to be marked by my own personal choices as opposed to what it was assumed I was going to perform. So I had a knowledge of them, but in a sense it was a knowledge by negation. And eventually I found out about Yiddish art song, specifically classical music that was written in the Yiddish language, mostly in the first half of the 20th century. And in that, I found a genre and narratives and music where I was really able to sort of be myself as a performer, be myself as an interpreter, in a sense to tell stories about myself. And what was interesting was after a relatively short amount of time really trying to learn how to perform this music and how to kind of assimilate to its sounds and its particular styles of performing and interpretation, I was reminded the most of African-American roots music. So I had spent all of this time, you know, learning about Ashkenazi Jewish music, and in a way I was turned to, you know, the music of my own Yerusha, the word in Yiddish, my own heritage. The way it really started was I was learning this song specifically about a student in yeshiva, in kind of a Jewish religious school. And in the song, the student is mournfully kind of reciting the Talmud, and the song asks, like, are you singing it this way, this mournful way that it's bringing tears to my eyes? Are you singing it this way because it's reminding you of home? Is it that you miss your mother, your father, your brother, and your sister? And do you feel like without them, you are a boat without a rudder? And it just felt like this very kind of emotionally open, very vulnerable song, this text. And the thing that it reminded me the most of immediately was sometimes I feel like a motherless child, which we know is kind of a very famous spiritual. And what was interesting is that they were both written in a very similar scale, in a pentatonic scale. And they were both minor keyed, and they were, in a sense, about the same thing, about this kind of separation from one's family and this feeling of loss and just kind of sitting there with it. So in my mind, I like to imagine that there are these, you know, two individuals in the 19th century, both longing after their families, after this connection in the face of the separation. What I started doing was performing a combination of these two songs, the song about this yeshiva bocher, this yeshiva student, and the spiritual, sometimes I feel like a motherless child. And what I would do is I would sing one line from one and then one line from the other. And the response that I got from audiences when I did this was very intense and very positive. And I decided I would try to figure out if there were any more of these songs from these separate traditions that had any kind of affinities between them. And that search has turned into an entire project, which it will be my honor to bring to Wisconsin.
Yes, and I understand there's an album, too. Is that out yet?
No, actually, we're still in the middle of trying to figure out how and when it will be released. But it has been completely recorded. I did that with the amazing Redsky Pass, without whom this project would be absolutely impossible. I was really lucky to encounter the klezmer consort Redsky Pass very early in my career as a performer of music in Yiddish. I was at the Ashkenaz Festival, which is a week-long festival of Jewish culture in Toronto, and I encountered this absolutely amazing consort of players, and there was something about the quality of their playing that immediately caught my ear and my heart. There was just a real amount of passion. They had a real sort of authenticity that I knew I was interacting with, you know, the moment I heard them. They were playing their own compositions, which is informed by a lot of their work and research in the diverse sounds of Jewish music from Hungary and its surrounding environs. So the funny thing is, when I heard them perform for the first time, I went to them and I kind of gushed my general admiration for their playing and for their music, and I found out that they live in Berkeley, which was just the next town over from where I was living at the time, which was Oakland. And basically, because of that very lucky geographical nearness, we started working together, and it was really through them that I was able to realize on a much larger basis what the sound of this project was going to be, what a project that was at once sort of traditional and contemporary African-American in its idioms, but also Jewish and Ashkenazi Jewish in its idioms, like what that would sound like. And I was really lucky in the sense that I was able to draw on their expertise in these kind of two worlds in order to create what the sound of this project was going to be, what the sounds of convergence were going to be.
In your hand, in your hand, Lord, in your hand, every son and Allah, in your hand.
I've always thought of klezmer as an indigenous Jewish music, very much the way I think of jazz as being African-American in its origins and its roots. And they're both musics that can be written down but often are not, are passed by ear and by sharing songs and tunes. There's a lot of an improvisatory qualities to both. And so it doesn't strike me as something that's particularly odd that those two things for you were able to come together to create something. I'm curious, did you convert to Judaism because of the work you were doing, or had you already done that before you started the research?
I had a lifelong interest in Judaism, in part because I grew up in a religiously affiliated family. On my mother's side, our family basically brought the Church of Christ denomination to an African-American community of Texas. At least that's the family lore. So I had always been very comfortable with the narratives of the Bible, and especially with the narratives of the Hebrew Bible. So when it came time for me to decide to make good on that kind of initial relationship that I had with these texts, it was not a hard decision for me at all. Now, a catalyst for that, of course, was me meeting my husband, who did happen to be a rabbi and still is very much a rabbi. But it wasn't like the idea of creating a deeper connection with Judaism came completely out of nowhere. You know, I had these texts with me for almost the entirety of my life. So I would say I came to Judaism definitely before I ever embarked on a career in Jewish music.
I'm just a poor stranger, a traveling through this world of woe. But there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright land to which I go.
When you take this music and this convergence and this kind of mix of cultures and musical styles to Europe, where Yiddish began and certainly where klezmer music was born, how did they react to it?
Well, it's interesting. I haven't had too many chances to perform this music in Europe. The times that I have performed in Europe, I've either been performing kind of the straight Yiddish music that I kind of learned at the beginning of my career as a performer of Jewish music, or I've been embarking on a new project that I've been working on called Tzvei Breeder, where I've started writing original songs based on the poetry of Yiddish from the past 100 years or so. And I do that with a collaborator by the name of Dimitri Gaskin, who also lives in the Bay Area and with whom I worked when I lived there. I did actually have a chance to present some pieces from Convergence for a concert that I did with Dimitri Gaskin for Radical Jewish Culture Festival in Berlin. And once again, the response was intense and very positive. People had never really heard anything like it. If it seems far-fetched to American audiences, you can only imagine what it would seem like to a German audience. I think it was even, on some level, provocative. And yet, people really connected with the music.
Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful stuff. And I want to take a moment to just say, you don't have to be Jewish and you don't have to be African-American to like this. I am neither of those things, and I love this stuff. You know, and
well, I can assure you, like, there aren't a whole lot of African-American and Ashkenazi Jewish performers who perform their music thinking that that music is only for their ears. You know, music, as corny as it sounds, and it does sound very corny at this particular point in history, music really is a language that manages to overcome any number of barriers. It kind of allows you into these worlds that otherwise seem closed. It opens up avenues of culture, of ways of being in the world that can seem very distant. And I think African-American and Ashkenazi Jewish music is no exception as far as that's concerned.
Well, and combining them has certainly changed and shaped your life in ways that I'm sure you never imagined.
It's interesting because I think when I started this project, I was younger than I am now. And in the way of the young, I assumed I was basically creating the wheel. So after having done a bit of research, it was both interesting and gratifying to figure out that these connections have existed for a long time. I mean, if you consider the history of American music, if you subtract the contributions of Jews and of African Americans, and even more, the contributions of Jews working with African Americans, you basically don't have a whole lot of music left. The contributions of African Americans and Jews to American popular culture is kind of like the bedrock of what it is. And in that way, I feel like there's always been this sort of historical affinity for this music to be together. You see kind of in the early part of the 20th century, especially in the 1920s, various instances of Jewish performers performing African-American material and African-Americans performing Jewish material. But as a phenomenon, there hasn't been a lot written about it. There is an author named Jeffrey Melnick who's written a book about this particular period and these kinds of convergences. And I've had, you know, the wonderful chance to kind of be in contact with him. But as a historical phenomenon, it's relatively unknown. It's interesting. On one end, you have the Gershwin, right, who are completely kind of conversant in the idiom of jazz, and yet are you know, recent arrivals to the United States as, like, first-generation American. And on the other end, you have Duke Ellington, who is kind of actively using these licks that he's hearing from cantorial recordings of Jewish music. It's always fascinating to just kind of see the directions in which music go and what people do with it when they encounter it. And it's my hope that this project Convergence is as interesting as these kind of historic delvings into the sounds of other cultures.
Well, we're so looking forward to hearing at least some of this. Anthony Russell, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. Best of luck with everything. And please stay in touch and keep us informed of new projects and things coming down the line.
Oh, I definitely will. Thank you so much for having me.
I will go. I shall go to see what the end is gonna be.
Bass Anthony Russell and the klezmer group Voretsky Pass perform tonight at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. Russell also performs two other shows this week presented by the Stahl Center for Jewish Studies at UWM. You will find a link to more information about them at WUWM.com.
To see what the end is gonna be.